Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's say that. Good morning. Good morning. Great day to be here. I drove over this morning, watched a beautiful sunrise. Then I watched you guys walk in. It was beautiful. It's great to be here this morning. You know that you have already spoken truth and love to each other in the songs that we've sung. And what powerful songs they are. If we would just hear and listen to the words of the songs we've sung, woo, power. There's power there. And you have already spoken that to each other. I love watching people sing. Now, don't get self-conscious now, but I am watching you because I'm watching you speak words of truth and love over each other. And it's been good. Today we're going to continue in the series, The Larger Story. And a little bit of just review about this. We're going to talk about creation this whole month. And today we're going to talk about the idea that we were created, or we were made to love. And that's just not a pickup line. It's the real truth of creation. But we talked about the idea of eternity past and eternity future. This is the large story. Now, I'm going to do this the best I can here by turning around and saying the future is over here and the past is over here. So God began to create, but before God began to create, there was an eternity in our past, right? And we know we're going to live forever with God in the future. See, now, some of you weren't here last week. I was pointing the wrong direction, so I'll be sure to point the right direction this week. Because it's different, you know, because So we're talking about creation in this idea of the larger story, but we're going to talk about five different sort of movements in the larger story. None of this is in your notes, but I will tell you this. Some of you are really anxious and ready to go about writing down the scriptures that go with each one of these. And so, whoa, this is a handout that has creation. We're going to talk about creation all of October and just a few of the creation scriptures we're going to use. And then in November, we're going to talk about rebellion. And there's a few of the scriptures here. So what I'm going to do is, I was going to ask Emily, but she's all covered up there now nicely. But instead, Michelle is going to go put these in the back. You're going to put them in the back. And we'll just see how many of you really want to know. Are you going to pick one up on the way out? So we're going to talk about these five movements in this larger story. And today we're going to talk about creation. Next week we're going to talk about creation too, because creation is big. And so we're going to talk about it. The first movement is creation. And this, again, is not on your handout yet. We're not to this yet, but it's still kind of review. Creation is the story of God's power. Woo! He made everything. It's about His love, and we're going to focus on that today. It's about purpose. Why did He create us? What's your purpose? We're going to talk about that next week. And then we're going to talk about the goodness of God, and we'll mention that almost every week. And 2 weeks from now, Jeremy's going to preach about the idea of being created in the image of God, that we are image bearers, and that's a thread that's going to run through all of these sermons, including today. Here is what we talked about, the timeline of eternity. Okay, now, so this is eternity past, because you know the creation has already happened, right? Just pinch yourself. You know it's happened. It's not a dream. Okay, so long time ago there was creation, but even before that, God was. And so we're going to talk about creation today and for the next few weeks. Now, the creation story, and this is where your handout starts, is told in many places in the Bible. There's well over 100 references in the Bible to creation. You think about creation story, and you think Genesis 1 and 2, right? Well, there's lots more than that. This story is crucial to the whole Bible, and it is told in Genesis, it's told in Revelation, and it's told many places in between. We're going to look at a few of those places today, but primarily today, we're going to not look at any of these, by the way, but these are just some examples of where the creation story is told. God comes to Job and tells him in two scalding chapters, kind of like this: hey, you think you're something, Job, but you weren't there when I did this and when I did this and when I did this. In Job, there's two chapters that God just goes on and on describing creation to Job. In Psalm 8, we're going to focus on this next week. Psalm 8, there's this great, how majestic is your name? This is how Psalm 8 begins. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name? This is what I thought when I was driving here this morning. I saw the sunrise in the east. Just how awesome is our God. And Psalm 104 is a long psalm that details almost everything that happened in that creation story in Genesis 1-2. But here's Colossians 1. These three verses, I want to read this to you and think about creation. Think about what you already know about Genesis and think about this. Paul said, "The Son, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn over all creation." For, get this, Steves. I say Steves because we got a lot of Steves here. "For in him all things were created." Who? In who? And who is the him? It's Jesus. Now think about this. There's God is a Father. There's God is Jesus. Now I'm going to start over. We're good here, but the Son, okay, is the image of the invisible God. So we're thinking about who? Jesus. Yes, say Jesus. We're going to say this together. Good. Yeah, "for in him," who? Yes, "all things were created." All things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Thrones, powers, rulers, authorities. All things have been created through him and in him. Who? Okay, that's real important. We're going to come to that in a minute. Okay, but today we're going to focus on the creation story that's told in John 1. And if you want to turn to John 1, that's going to be great. I'm going to have much of it on the PowerPoint here if you don't have your Bible. But in John 1, it's told. But it's not the only place, but there's some similarities to John 1 and Genesis 1. One is, they both start like this. In the beginning. In the beginning. In the beginning. John 1, Genesis 1. A closer look, though, at the language of Genesis 1 would offer this translation: when God began to create the heaven and the earth. Okay, now I want you to think about that. How that's different than the phrase "in the beginning." Okay, go back to our timeline in your mind. Well, let's say our mind can't think of it. And let's go back to the timeline on the screen, okay? In the beginning, if I'm thinking about the timeline, there's a pointer on here, isn't there? Boop. Check this out. Okay, creation was here, but there was something that happened before creation, right? Okay, God was before creation, so was Jesus with him. So this makes sense. Not only does it make sense, but in the Hebrew language, this is exactly how it means. When God began to create, okay, he began to create at a certain point in time. Before that, he still existed, correct? Yes. Who existed with him? Woo! We're on a roll now. All right. So we come to this: when God began to create. Now then, here's what we know from Genesis 1 also. Okay? He created the stuff on day number one, and at the end of the day, he said it was what? Good. Y'all have read this before. And on the second day, he said it was, and I want you to say good, like you really mean it. You know, like it's something you just ate and it tasted just good. Okay. And on day three, he created it. At the end of the day, he said it was perfect. Lucas is my man. He got that down. And on day four, he began to create. And at the end of the day, he said it was okay. This was happening. Y'all got it. We're on that. That's enough. But then on day six, he decided it was time to make a human being. And when he said this on day six, he said this in Genesis 1, verse 26, "Let us make human beings," or mankind, "in our own likeness," in our own image. So what we know from this, when God did begin to create, Genesis says that God was an us, not a me. He didn't say, "Let me create." He said, "Let us create in our image." Who is God talking to? You think? Okay. Most people would say, yes, you're right, that this is the first mention of the Trinity. So I want you to imagine this thing going on wherever God lives, in the heavenly realms, wherever that is. So I just happened to meet Isaac this morning. He's sitting on the front row, and by sitting on the front row, Isaac, you get called to do stuff that, you know, it's the way it goes. It's the way we roll here. Okay, so we're having this meeting, and Isaac is in the meeting, and Emily is in the meeting, and I'm in the meeting, and we're deciding, hey, man, this creation deal is going really well. You know, we got the fish, you know, we got the oceans, we got the animals, we got the vegetation. Let's, three of us, let's make human beings in our image. Okay, now what's the deal there? What's the big deal about that? Well, we're going to get into that today. As you know, I've already said it, this is how this goes, that the Trinity was existing before the creation. That's going to be really significant in a minute. Even though we've already sung to each other about this principle, this is going to be, I want you to tune in here. The Trinity, they're having a meeting just like Isaac and Emily and I did. And God says, hey, let's make human beings in our image. Okay? So one of the key aspects of the creation story that impacts the larger story, and that's what we're talking about, the larger story, is the priority of relationship. God was never the Lone Ranger. He never was by himself. God did things in community, in relationship, and he decided to make us in this room, human beings, in his image, meaning there's a priority in relationship, meaning that John 1, well, I'm not going to go that yet, but the relationship, God is a relational God. He's not just the Father. He's the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. He's relational, and he wants to make us in his image, meaning what? That we're going to be what? Relational also. So John 1, and in your Bible, you'll see how this Jesus aspect of being the creator is revealed even more. John says that there was life and relationship. There was life and relationship before the creation of the heavens and earth. Okay, you're with me on that? Everybody nod, like, okay, yeah, this is making sense. There was, because the Trinity existed before the creations of the heaven and earth. Okay, they're sitting somewhere talking it over. So here's how it goes in John 1. In the beginning was the Word. Now later in John 1:14, we know that this Word is Jesus, because it says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and this is Jesus. So in the beginning, we could say, was Jesus. And Jesus was with God, and he was God. He's part of this Trinity, God. And through him, who? Jesus. All things were made, and without him, nothing was made that has been made. And in him, there was life. And that life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness hasn't overcome it. The Trinity was and is family. It was community. It was fellowship. There is this us in creation. If we're created in God's image, we are created for relationship. What's the title of this sermon? We are made to love. This is us. This is who we are. This is from the beginning. We are made to be family. We're made to be a fellowship. We're made to be community. So God is relational. In a way, we could say they created us in their image. Let's just say that together. They created us in their image. It's the three. They created us. Jesus created us. God created us. The Father. The Holy Spirit was involved. That's in, if you want to read in Psalm 84, just put in your notes. There's this reference of the Spirit creating in Psalm 84. But what I want to get to is this idea that deep inside, we have a desire to be loved. We desire to be a part of a family or a fellowship or a community. That's who we are. That's what we were created to be together, loved and loving. This is who we are. Deep inside, that's who we are. So I want to just mention some thoughts here about how we see this in so many areas, and I'm going to use some literature and movie references, okay? So I'm talking about communities that are you're well known. All right. Frodo and Sam. Y'all know Frodo and Sam? Frodo and Sam. Who's Frodo and Sam? They're the Lord of the Rings. Yeah. They are the Fellowship of the Ring. Okay? Lucy, Susan, Peter, and Edmund. Yeah, they're the kids who go together. It wasn't just Lucy who went through the door, was it? They went together. Okay, here's one. Captain America, Iron Man, Thor, the Hulk. Who? Michael? The Avengers. Yeah. They're a team. They're a group. This motto. This is for older folks here. You ready? Ready in the back. All for one, one for all. The Three Musketeers. This is what human beings are meant to be. When I saw our brother and sister team walk in the back, I thought, that's how I sit with my sister. You sit with your sister, Rhett. It's good to be there. We're a team. We're a family. We're made for family. I'm wondering about the name of this church. For years, I've sort of pestered Sally about the name of this church. The name of this church is Christ Community Church. The word community in the middle of our name does not mean the location of where we're at, because that's moved around quite a bit, hasn't it? What is it talking about? Why do we call it Christ Community Church? Okay, that's who we are. We're a family. We are a community. We're a fellowship. And it's good that we are, because that's what we were created to be. This isn't something that came out of Steve's brain or Sally's brain. It's from God. It's from that little Trinity that sat around, let's make them in our image. Let's make them in our image. Now, one thing, back to that creation story in Genesis 1 and 2. You know, we went through it. It was good. Country song. And then one afternoon, God looked over everything and he said, uh-oh, this is not good. Remember what the not good was? It was not good for man to be alone. God didn't create us to live any other way except together. This is how God has created us. And to live together, all for one and one for all, just exactly what we prayed in our unity prayer, that we would love each other. You know, here's the deal with us. In our human, in our heart, in our emotions, in our psyche. I'm skipping this. If you have a longing to belong, it's because God created you to love and be loved. We all have a longing to belong. And when we don't feel like we belong somewhere, there is something missing in us. We will head towards, I promise you this because I've lived this, when you don't feel like you belong, you will head towards depression. God has created this longing in us, a longing to belong, to love and be loved. And if you have a fear of being rejected, it's because you are created to be accepted. Fear of rejection is one of the most powerful fears that Satan uses against us right now. The fear of rejection. And you know why? Because many of us have been rejected. I have been. I can remember the day in seventh grade when Patty Schultz said, no more. That one note she sent me was going to be the last one, you know, seventh grade love. Yeah, it's sad. But I want you to think about these. I'm going to read off my phone. I just was in the car and I was writing, and I thought about these things. I want you to think about the emotions, the thoughts, the memories perhaps, or the dreams that you feel that come to you when I read these words. Loyalty. Betrayal. These are powerful words. You know why? Because God created us to live in community. He created us for loyalty. The enemy attacks us with betrayal. Isolation and exclusion. Hospitality and generosity. Bullying. Team chemistry. Sisterhood. I don't know what that's like. But I do know this, band of brothers. Feel the sadness, the pain of these words. Expelled. Fired. Dismissed. Discounted. Cut off. Divorced. All on one side. But what we're created for, even when those things happen, we're created for reconciliation. So as you hear those words, hear the word coming not just from the cross, but even before that in creation was reconciliation. God wants all of us to live and love together. All the stories that are in the Bible come from this one foundational creation story. This is key. All the other stories are going to link back. So the tragedy of Cain and Abel, right? The tragedy of Cain and Abel was where God created relationship. Cain destroyed it. Okay? Stories. Joseph and his brothers. Joseph betrayed by his brothers. But on the other hand, the relationship of David and Jonathan, the loyalty of David, King David and Jonathan. Jesus and his apostles. Jesus created the world. What did he need those guys for? Because Jesus himself needed relationship. in Luke 8, what I call is his posse, the beginning of Luke 8 also describes some women who were with him, and they traveled around with these apostles all the time. There was this group of people that Jesus surrounded himself with because he created human beings to live in community. And when he became one, he needed it too. Think about that. Jesus needed those disciples. He needed the apostles because he was now a human being. And he had always lived in community, even before the creation he did, right? So why is this focus on the larger story so important? It's because, again, in the larger story, we find our story. Our story is about love. The creation story is a love story. The creation story is a love story, and I want to say it's not a romantic comedy. It's not a chick flick. Well, maybe it is. No. But God designed our story to be a love story. Now, it's not the love story where it means you must be married. God's love story for single people is still just as powerful as it is for married people. I'm not talking about just the only relationship we're talking about is not marriage, because we got a lot of single people in this church, and you know what they found here? Love, community, relationship. Okay? But what we know is some of our most difficult times or days when relationships fail. And we've all had those. In some way or another, we've had relationships that have failed, that have let us down. Sometimes it's our fault. Sometimes it's a mutual kind of thing. Sometimes it's some other person's fault. And when relationships fail, we begin to wonder, am I lovable? This doubt creeps in. Am I lovable? We're going to watch a testimony. Sarah Metter is going to speak to us. And in Sarah's story, some of you know it, some of you don't, but one thing that's important to realize as you begin, especially those who don't know her story, Sarah was in an abusive relationship that ended in divorce. That's important to know up front. Often the abuse in the relationship was excused based on a faulty understanding of Scripture. And that's important in her story. Sometimes Scripture was inappropriately used to justify abuse, which that is never right. But Sarah tells her story better than I can, so let's just give a listen to this.
I'm really glad that we're doing this. We're talking about this, because it has to do with my story that has really been very pivotal in my life, and it's been foundational, and it is really what sustains me, even to this day. And it happened when I was 23 years old, and so I was newly married, fairly. You know, I've been married about 3 years, and I don't remember exactly what it was about, but we were having an argument, and Lee would never talk this way publicly, but when we had this argument, he said to me, you have to do this my way because you're the woman. And it hurt so much because it was who I was. And so I, though, in reaction, I had my Bible and I said to him, I said, that's not what it's all about. And I said, in fact, if that's what it's all about, I want no part of it. And I took my Bible and I heaved it at him. And it bounced off his chest. And I think he was stunned by my reaction. And so he left, and I retrieved my Bible, and I went in the other room, and I was sobbing and crying and holding the Bible and telling God I was so sorry because I'd been willing to throw everything I believed in away. And I said, I don't know what it's all about. I don't know what it's all about. And so I think it was from God that God helped me to understand I can figure out what it's all about because I can read. And so I decided that I would read straight through the Bible. And so it must have been in the summer because I wasn't teaching at the time. And I read all day, every day. Started in Genesis, read to Revelation. And I don't know how long it took me. But I do remember vividly. I remember finishing Revelation and closing it and thinking, the Bible is a love letter. A love letter to me. And I thought, what is the biggest name? The biggest name I can think of for God. And I decided the master of the universe. And the master of the universe wrote a love letter to this woman. Isn't that amazing? That's it.
At this point you say, amen, God is good. Say that out loud. God is good. And so what's happened with Sarah is she found a community, right? Because that's what we are, a place to love and to be loved. I found the same community. What a weird thing. And so have you. It's a place where we love and we have a chance to be loved. I love our church. It's small. When you're gone, we miss you. I was pretty sad about the balls, and then they showed up. So now I'm not sad they're here. But there's others. You know, Katrina's gone, and Art's not here, and Betty's not here, and the Corbett's aren't here. But we love them. They know they're coming back. But we want, you know, more to just join in because we love, we want to be a place where we... Okay, we live life together in the pattern of creation. It's not something that we're just figuring out that we do better when we are together. No, it's God's plan from the beginning that we would live together and love each other. Small groups, man, small groups, the way to go. We got a really good small group thing going on here. And I'm just inviting everybody to get in one. If you got one somewhere else, that's great too. But a place where you are known, where people know you, and they have the chance to love you, and where you get to know others. So what's your story? Well, wherever you are on this journey, know this. God created you for relationship. You are made for love. What a great thing. We're made for love. See, John, 1 John 3, what great love the Father has lavished on us that we could be called children of God. And if we are all children of God, that means we are all in the same family. We're all in this family together. What a great creation story. God created us in His image to live together. Let's stand up and sing about our good, good Father.